For generations, courageous lifeboat crews have put their lives at risk to help others in trouble at sea around Norfolk's dangerous coast.
It's been a baking summer's day on the northeast coast of Norfolk. The wide sands are dotted with people enjoying the last hours of the glorious weather, picnicking, playing, sunbathing. But the peace is broken by the roar of a powerful engine. An orange shape flashes past, a rooster tail of spray kicking up behind it. It's the Hunstanton Flyer, a rescue hovercraft on its way to help save sunseekers trapped by the notoriously fast-rising tide on Skulkhead Island at Brancaster. Five teams, including the Hunstanton RNLI hovercraft, Wells RNLI inshore lifeboat, and Hunstanton Wells and Sheringham Coast Guard, rushed to the scene. Reports say there are 14 people trapped. Luckily, this time it's good news. 13 of the stranded group managed to make it to shore on their own, and the hovercraft picks up the last. It's a successful mission. 2 days later, the Flyer is roaring out into the wash near Heacham to rescue a man and a woman drifting out to sea on an inflatable Lilo. Cold, wet, tired and frightened, they're recovered 2 miles out to sea. Another happy ending, but the treacherous coast almost claimed 2 more victims. For generations, the 80-mile-long Norfolk coastline has been watched over by brave men and women who put their own lives at risk to save others in trouble. Lifeboat crews from both independent stations and the Royal National Lifeboat Institution have put to sea in terrible conditions to rescue mariners and have sometimes paid the ultimate price. For many years, it was mostly fishermen with their peerless knowledge of the swirling coastal currents and tides who made up the crews. But things have changed. Paul Watling is the new coxswain of the Cromer lifeboat, following in the oilskins of the legendary Henry Blogg, the most decorated lifeboatman in RNLI history. While Paul was born in Haysborough, he doesn't come from a seafaring family. "Dad was a farmer, and I'm a mechanic by trade," he says. He's been involved in the RNLI at Cromer and Haysborough for 32 years, and also had a spell assessing equipment for the service from Cleethorpes to Portsmouth. But he's delighted to be back at Cromer. "I love it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. Since I joined the RNLI, I've always loved doing it. I had 18 to 20 years as a volunteer and never missed any of the exercises," he says. "It's just a passion, really, and a commitment. If you're going to do something, do it properly." Even though the cox makes all the key decisions on the boat, Paul says it's the whole crew that makes the boat. The coxswain is just there to bring it all together. "Even Henry Blogg needed a good crew," he jokes. "If the crew and cox get on well, you can't beat it. All the crew look after each other, and on a really horrible day, you have to have that trust in each other that everyone knows their job." Long service doesn't diminish the excitement when the pager goes off for a shout. "You always get a buzz when you have a shout," says Paul. "People say they don't, but they do." As cox, he selects the crew for the job when he arrives at the boathouse. "If you've got a really horrible winter's night with the sea really rough, you're going to pick a good, experienced crew that you know will be able to do what you want them to do. If it's a summer's day, you can get the youngsters more involved. They need to do service calls to get the experience," he says. Cromer's slipway at the end of the town's famous pier makes for an exciting-looking launch. You get the boat ready, tipped up on the cradle, and the engine running, and away you go. A lot of people think that it's a real roller coaster ride going down the slipway, but it's quite a non-event, really. It does look spectacular, though, and if it's a nice day, you hear people cheering. That's really nice. Community support is something that Wells Next the Sea lifeboat crew member Simon Parks values highly. "The lifeboat is so much a part of the community. Having a network of crew families is really important to us." Simon, who's a nurse, joined the crew 2.5 years ago, adding his medical skills to the diverse crew. We've got electricians, builders, people who work in shipping, on the wind farm, on the Holcomb estate, all coming together when the pager goes off, and all having different skills to bring, says Simon. He acknowledges that the fishermen, who traditionally made up the bulk of lifeboat crews in the past, still have a key role. We're so grateful for the maritime experience that the fishermen bring, because we know that if we're out on an awful night, they'll make sure we're kept safe in terrible seas. The power of the sea was illustrated recently when Wells went to the aid of a 28-foot yacht, Trancer, which ran aground in Holcomb Bay. The soaked and exhausted crew, battered by strong northeast winds, were rescued, and the boat made safe and left for the night. By the time we went back to the yacht, and it was a sizable yacht, the next morning it was smashed to smithereens. If they'd stayed on board overnight, they would have been lost at sea, says Simon. Wells has an inshore lifeboat and an all-weather vessel, the Doris Mann, which wears the crown of being the oldest RNLI lifeboat in service at 30 years old. She'll be replaced shortly by a new Shannon-class boat, powered by water jets and bristling with technology. Simon's looking forward to the new vessel entering service. It's like driving a spaceship, with wonderful comfy seats that don't bounce you around, and everything controlled by a computer screen, he says. It'll be housed in a new boathouse and will make Wells one of the most up-to-date stations in the country. Sean Edwards manages the RNLI's lifeboats from Hunstanton to Cromer and also looks after the lifeguarded beaches from Wells to Southwold. For him, the biggest recent challenge has been dealing with the COVID-19 situation. Stations have been unable to do their usual exercises on boats out on the water, he says, so there's been online training instead. His perennial challenge, operationally, is the issue of visitors being stranded on the beaches by incoming tides. We had 4 consecutive days when people were cut off on Sculpt Head, he says, so it might be a glorious sunny day, but there'll be a bigger tide in the evening. People have had the day when the tide is out to go across on the sandbanks, and then when the tide comes in, and it comes in quite rapidly, they find themselves cut off. They've been working with the Coast Guard, the National Trust, who own part of the coastline, and Natural England to try and reduce the incidents through education. But again, COVID-19 has scuppered their plans. Sean's message to visitors is simple. Come and have a fantastic time and enjoy yourselves, but be aware of your surroundings and heed the safety advice. Be aware of tidal cutoff and the tide, full stop. Know how to float to live and who to call in an emergency. Sean's responsibility also extends to the RNLI lifeguards, who this summer will be on duty at 9 out of the usual 16 beaches.